Psalms chapter number 91, if you want to go there really quick. Psalms chapter number 91, that will be almost at the center of your Bible. Psalms chapter number 91, this is Independence Day week. We thank God for the freedom that He has given us. But at the same time, as Paul says, let our freedom not be what destroys us. Amen. Because we are free, we take a lot of things, like Darren was saying, for granted. A pastor went to China and he showed up in the morning and he was going to, his name is Pastor, I'll remember the name before I'm done. But anyway, he went and he was supposed to minister to pastors, to teach pastors. And these are pastors of underground churches. So the building they were going to meet at was not supposed to look anything like a church building. It didn't have any chairs or anything. So these pastors showed up. They had traveled for 14 hours to show up in this building. And they sat on the floor. And apparently in China, when you teach, his name is Cordero, Pastor Cordero, Wayne Cordero. He's one of the Foursquare pastors in Hawaii. So he says he shows up and these pastors show up and he's required to teach for 12 hours because he has to do this straight in case there's wind or information out there. So he teaches these pastors that are seated on the floor for this particular 12 hours he teaches through. And when he's done teaching, while teaching, he had about 6 Bibles because these pastors showed up without a Bible. So he gave them the Bibles. And then one lady that was seated in the front of the church took her Bible and gave it to another lady and the Bible that she had received. And so pastor says, let's go to this book in the Bible. And he starts saying it and he realizes this particular lady that gave away the Bible was reciting the Bible. That particular verse, she had it all upstairs. And so later on, he goes to this lady and he says, I noticed you gave away your Bible. And she says, yes. And then he says, okay, so the pastors in the room were 18. 14 of them had been in prison because of Christianity, because they were Christians. So he says to this lady, why did you give out your Bible? And he says, because I have it in my head. He says, you crammed the whole thing. She says, yes, I did. And he asks her, how? And she says, because I was in prison. And then the pastor looks at her and says, in prison? How did you get access to a Bible? And she says, well, the believers, they write the words of the Bible on a piece of paper and they bring it to me in the Bible. They bring it to me in prison and I have to cram it quickly and chew it before they can search us. So she had crammed the entire Bible off pieces of paper that somebody was writing. And so later Pastor Wayne says, at the end, these ladies come to him and they say, Pastor, we pray that one day China will be like America. And the pastor looks at them and says, no. No, absolutely not. In America, every household has more than one Bible. Every household. But we do not read them. In America, everybody has the freedom to sit down and listen to music, listen to a sermon, listen to worship, go to church on Sunday, and people don't go. And when they go to church on Sunday, they complain about the 15 minutes that the pastor uses at the end of the sermon. And he says, you guys have been sitting on the floor for 14 hours. You have hunger for God. You have a thirst for God. So my warning is, we are in America and we are celebrating our independence, our freedom. Let it not be that our freedom is what enslaves us. That our freedom is what kills or destroys us. I pray that even as you go into this 4th of July, as we throw the fireworks and celebrate, I pray that in your spirit, you will say to yourself, let me utilize this freedom and pursue after God. Let me utilize this freedom and serve God. Let me utilize this freedom and not take this freedom for granted. If you want to come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 91. Psalms chapter number 91. I'm going to just read one verse. I call it 911. Amen. 911, that's the number we call in America when we are in distress. And I do believe this is the number we should always call. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let us pray. Father, we come to you now. We ask in humility, come and speak to us. We need you, Jesus, because you are all that we need. You are everything. Daddy, even as we stand before you, we ask today that your Holy Spirit will minister truth in our spirits, in our hearts, that you will quicken us, my Father, to respond to the teachings of this word and go forth and do as you have commanded. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for the revelation of your holiness this morning. How I pray that every one of us, that Lord Jesus Christ, as we sit here, that they will be able to behold how great you are and how holy you are. And that in that, Lord, they will see the importance and the value of chasing after you. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says, he that dwells. I would like you, if you have a Bible, to highlight he that dwells. He that dwells. He that continues on. The Bible doesn't say he that visits the secret place of the Most High God. It doesn't say he that peeks into the secret place of the Most High God. It doesn't say he that is aware of the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says he that dwells there. He who finds the secret place of the Most High God a dwelling place. Which means it is making a sober decision, or he who makes a sober decision to go into the presence of God and choose to say, I will live here. I will stay here. This shall be my portion. This shall be my lifestyle. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Say amen. He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. Now, I want you to understand something. That when he says he that dwells, he denotes the fact that dwelling is a choice that you make. Praise God. So he doesn't say who, he whom I compel to sit in the secret place of the Most High God. He says he that chooses, he who dwells there, he who makes a sober decision to sit in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today's sermon or title, as I put it, would be Pursuing After God. Being a God chaser, being a person that makes a deliberate decision, a choice to go after God, to say, you know what, I am going to seek after God. You see, we are living, like I said, we are living in a country that has got the freedom. And this freedom means that you are free to not seek after God as you are free to seek after God. Today I pray that by the Spirit of God, that by the grace of God, that we will come to a place where we all come up with a decision to say, I am going to chase after God. I am going to pursue after God. I'm going to passionately, intentionally, deliberately go after the maker of the heavens and the earth. Now, why would we be going after God? Why would we search for God? Why would we seek after Him? I hope that by the grace of God, by the end of this service, that we will be able to see God for who He is. Now listen, write this down. There is only two alternatives. You don't have to. I put that in your bulletin. There is only two alternatives. You are either pursuing after God or you are pursuing after Satan. There is nothing in between. Praise God. When God created us, God put a desire in us, a desire to follow Him, a desire to seek out to Him. Every person I've heard before say that we have a void in our spirit that is God-shaped. That is why you will find that when it comes to worship, that we will always try to find something to worship. That somebody will say, I am not a Christian. I do not worship God. But there is something in their lives that their hearts is passionately going after. Something in their lives that their hearts are passionately fighting for. Because we have been created to worship. That is why music is very captivating. That every time, it doesn't matter who you are, that you start playing music in the background and people, it doesn't matter what kind of music, whenever it is worship music, people will get drawn in and they'll start worshiping their Father. And when it's outside, they will get drawn in and they will continue worshiping their Father with a small A. We have been created with this desire in us, a desire to go after something, a desire to worship God. A desire to worship, period. And then we get to choose whether we worship God or we go after all the other things. That is a choice that you get to make. I pray that by the grace of God, that by the time this morning is done, that we are all making a decision to be intentional about our quest, our desire to go after God. Now, to be a person who is pursuing God, you have to be, number one, intentional about that. You have to choose to say, I am going to go and be pursuing God, which means you're forging a good relationship with Him. You're saying, I am going to go after God. I am going, you are intentional about it. You're deciding, you're making a decision to say, I am not going to just sit back and hope that like a wave, God is going to slap me in the face one day and it's going to happen for me. That you're saying, I will wake up in the morning and intentionally, deliberately go after God, pursue God, create a relationship that I have with Him. Galatians chapter number 6, if you want to come there with me. Galatians chapter number 6. If you get there before me, say amen. And then I'll just read up here. Galatians chapter number 6. I'll read verse number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I'll read verse number 6 to 8. The Bible says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. I repeat that, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things, in all good things. Verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 7, I'll repeat again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life, or life everlasting. It says, number one, that let him that studies, that listens to the word, that hears the teacher, communicate with the person that is ministering. Which means all of us, because we are students of the Bible, we have a responsibility to be communicating, to be in communion with God, to be deliberately, intentionally seeking after God, seeking after the heart of God, seeking out God. That we have to communicate with the one that is giving that word. That as I study my Bible, I want to be intentional about my prayer life. I want to be communicating to the teacher. I want to be saying, this is my relationship. My vertical relationship is a relationship that I'm chasing after. It is a relationship that I'm pursuing. So we become intentional about being intimate with God. Now the Bible says, number two thing, it says, don't be fooled. That we cannot mock God. So to be able to create a relationship that is intentional, that is intimate with God, you have to be intentional about your investment in God. Praise God. So you are not hoping to reap where you didn't plant. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came to remind us. And he will remind us all things. Listen to me, the Holy Spirit will not remind you what you don't know. Praise God. Which means that I am going to be one person that is choosing to also invest myself in the quest for God. Just like with all the relationships, we have to invest in the relationships for the relationships to grow. Ask Anders and Darian. For their relationship to continuously grow in their marriage, they have to put in an investment in that marriage. They have to invest of their lives. They have to invest of their money. They have to invest of their time into that relationship for that relationship to grow. Which means we have to be intentional. And the Bible says, listen to me. It says you can't mock him. You cannot not plant and hope to reap. He says, whatsoever a man planteth, so he will reap. It means that whatever it is that you are putting into the, you are investing into the kingdom, is what you're going to be receiving. If you're making a choice to say on Sunday service, the snack that Pastor Dan gives is all I have, then slowly but surely, that is really what you will have. There is not going to come anything from outside if you're not being intentional, if you're not being intentional in what you're planting into the kingdom. Which means you have to make a decision to say, I'm going to apply myself to this. I'm going to apply myself to seeking. I'm going to apply myself to searching after God. I'm going to apply myself to a prayer life that is in the quest of God. That I'm going to apply myself in living a life that is worthy of my calling. The grace of God makes a way for us to meet with God, to encounter God, to receive forgiveness. Then we start investing ourselves. We start applying ourselves to God and saying, Lord, I want a deeper knowledge of you. Moses had seen God in multiple ways. This is a man that his first encounter with God, he sees a bush that is on fire. And he goes there and says, like, let me move closer. And he hears the voice of God. God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for where you stand is holy. Moses takes off his shoes, has this conversation with God. And God tells him, put your hands inside the pockets. He puts them in, he removes out. The hands are withered. He's witnessing miracles in God. God says to Moses, throw down your staff. And Moses throws down his staff and it turns into a snake. And he says, pick it up by the tail. He picks up by the tail and the staff becomes a staff again. Listen to me. At the end of the journey, do you know what Moses says? Moses says, when he is encountered with God, he has only one request. He says, Father, show me your glory. I want to see more of you. He had applied his being into seeking after God. That even after seeing all these things, even after seeing the plagues, the 10 plagues, as the nation of Israel is being redeemed from Egypt, as he sees all this, he still yet says, I want to see more of you, God.
I want to go after the heart of God. I'm going to chase after God. I pray that we are going to raise a generation, a people in this church that have a desire for God, a people in this church that are going after the heart of God. There are people in this church whose going forward will be intentional. It will be deliberate. That they are not sitting back and hoping it will hit them. That they are saying, I am going to go after God. Praise the Lord. So we are investing ourselves in the kingdom because we know we are not going to mock God. We are not going to make a fool of Him. That as we plant in the kingdom, we wait and see the harvest come forth. That as we invest ourselves, we wait and see God show up. Listen to this statement. You cannot be pregnant with the things of God in the street. I've said this before. You cannot be pregnant of the things of God in the street. There has to be. We all know how this works. If there is going to be a pregnancy, there has to be intimacy. So if we are going to give forth anything that is of God, we have to create a relationship with God that is intimate, that is personal for us, that is close relationship. Intimacy basically means closeness, neatness. That we are going to create a relationship where we say, I am going to come to a place where I cuddle with the Master. He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall... He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you're saying, I am done with this casual relationship, Lord. I'm done with this, you know, this casual prayer life. I am done with this casual study of the Bible. I want it more intimate. I want to know you. I want to go deeper in you. I am done with being on the outside. I want to see how it looks on the inside. You're saying, Lord, I have heard the stories. I now do not want to just hear the stories. Lord, I want to experience it. I want to be on the inside. I want to see with my own eyes. I want to witness. I want to experience you. Intimacy. Philippians chapter number 3. If you want to come there with me. Philippians chapter number 3. Verses 7 and 8. Philippians chapter number 3. Verses 7 to 8. The Bible says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he tells them, I have counted everything that I saw as worthwhile in my life. I have counted everything as useless. I've given it all up that hopefully I may come to the knowledge of Christ. That I may come to the full knowledge of who Christ is. He says, he takes it to another level. He says, in fact, I look at everything that was worthy for me, that looked worthy for me. I count it all as poop. That I might be able to find Christ. That I may come on top as a winner, having had the knowledge of Christ. Investment means that sometimes we have to sacrifice. Sometimes and all the times we have to give it all up. It is called surrender. That if we are going to be a people that follows God, a people that chases after God, That we are going to be like Paul to say, you know what? Everything that I counted worthwhile for me, I lost it. I gave it all up that I may have the knowledge of Christ. Paul was a lawyer. He was an attorney. He was a Pharisee. He was a respected man. He had got, the way he describes himself, every time he spoke, everybody would listen because you see, he was a Jew and then he was a Roman citizen. Which means that he had this height above all others. And he says, everything that I knew, everything that I had to leave it all behind that I may be able to acquire Christ. That I may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Pursuing God, death intimately says, I am going to lose myself. I'm going to lose some of, quote unquote, my rights. We live in a country where we worship our rights. You know the Bill of Rights? It is my right to voice my opinion. Sometimes in the pursuit of God, it is your right to be quiet and listen to what God is saying about your life, about the next step. Sometimes when we are pursuing God, we have to say, I'm going to give up on what I think should be mine. I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice. I'm going to offer myself and say, Lord, I am here. Paul says somewhere, look, I am being poured out. We, if we are going to pursue God, we have to say, I am ready, I am going to surrender. Which means our investment is investing, number one, in the study. Number two, we are investing in commitment. We are investing in commitment. We are saying, I am going to go forward, and no matter what comes my way, no matter what the challenges, I'm going to give it all up that I may have Jesus Christ. See, children of God, I wrote this on the bulletin. God does not want us to pursue him because he is this dude that craves attention. He's not just seated, he's like, they need to look for me. Listen, God does not need you. Uh-oh, that's rough. Jesus says when he's coming into Jerusalem and the Pharisees say to him, make these people be quiet. Make them stop making the noises. He says, you know, I could. That's easy. I could tell them to stop making the noises, but you know what? The rocks are going to start making noises. The Bible says in the Bible that when this man of God could not listen to the voice of God, God uses a donkey. Anas spoke. God don't need you. God is asking us to seek after him because he knows that as we seek after him, we stay safe. Because as long as we are not seeking after God, we are seeking after something else. And because as we have come to that realization this morning that God is holy, he is righteous, he is right. The Bible says that he is light and there is no darkness in him. Which means there is no shadow of turning. There is no shaded places that he is not aware of. He is just God. Which means that as you're pursuing him, you know I'm pursuing safety. I wrote something on Facebook. I said, what if God had a stress of evil in him? That would be scary. He is light and there is no darkness in him, children of God. He is worthy your pursuit because he is Yahweh. He is the El Shaddai. He is God. Which means as you wake up in the morning, if you're going to seek after God, you're seeking after him knowing, listen, number two, he will never let you down. He has a good track record. Like I said last week, you are frankly not important enough to make him break his record. You're not going to be the guy that the Bible records God did not show up for. You're not that important. But you are important. In the sense that if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. If he says, pursue after me and you shall find me. Isaiah chapter 55, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may yet be found. He says, for if you seek him diligently, you will find him. He has promised that if you chase after him, you shall find him. Pursue after God. You can go to the next slide. Matthew chapter number 13. Verse number 44. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Chapter number 13. If you get there before me, say amen. Oh, good, nobody did. The Bible says, verse number 44, again, the kingdom of God is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and selleth all that he hath and buys that field. He says the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like a treasure that is hidden in a field. A man walking, have you guys ever seen these people that have hobbies of looking for metals? So the Bible says that one of them guys, which is you and I, we find the treasure. We realize that this plot is not just a plot of land, that this plot has got treasure in it. And then the Bible says that he goes back and outside because of the joy, he sells everything else to come and go after this one thing, the kingdom of God. If we are going to pursue God, we have to be the kind of people that says, listen, if I am going to lose my life, if I'm going to lose everything, the pastors in China say, I've been in prison 3-4 times because of this kingdom. And then when a pastor says, hey, there's a pastor's conference, they are in their vehicles, they are on their bicycles, and they are going traveling 14 hours to go to this conference, knowing very well that if the police show up, they will be arrested. They are saying, I can give up everything, including my life, for the sake of this. When the disciples were saying yes to the call, they had just seen their leader be killed. They had just seen their leader be destroyed there. And when he calls forward to them, they say, yes, sir, we are ready to report for duty. They find the treasure in the field and they say, I'm going to sell everything that I have and I'm going to go after the treasure. I'm challenging you this morning. How I pray that you will be the person that says, listen, I am going to sacrifice everything that is inside me. I'm going to sacrifice my finances if it calls for my finances. I am going to be proactive about seeking after God. I am going to be intentional about seeking after God. That I'm not going to wait for the remote to fall down and open TBN for me to seek and listen to the word of God. That I'm not going to wait for Sunday to show up at the church and hear what Pastor Dan will say. That I'm going to make the Bible my friend. That I'm going to seek after the heart of God. That I'm going to search through the pages of the Bible, or that I may find my Father. The Bible says in the book of Acts that there is a book, that there is this church that was called the Berean church. This particular church, the Bible says every time the apostles taught something, they went home and they started looking through through the scriptures to see whether the apostles were saying the truth. How I pray that you will be that man that says, I am going to seek after God. That it's not going to be anymore any accidental anointings. That it's not going to be any more accidental ministry. You know, I'm going to be actively seeking for God. That it's not going to be, you know what? Oh, I just happened to be at church and then they said something that ministered to me. That it's going to be, I was seeking for God. I was searching for the heart of God. And then I stumbled upon this information. Listen to me, child of God. What we get here in church is just a slice of what the Word of God has to offer. So you're going to be intentional about investing. You're going to be intentional. You're going to say, you're going to sell everything that you own, everything that you have. You're going to say, I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to sacrifice my money. I'm going to, listen, there's this conference, this great conference that is coming up in Denver. You're going to be the guy that says, you know what? I'm going to put my money down that I may be able to go there and seek after God. You know, you're going to hear that there is this meeting that is happening downtown. You're going to say, I am going to go there and try to seek after the heart of God. Intentional, purposeful, seeking after God. If we forget everything else, let us remember that we need to seek after God and that God is not to be mocked. You cannot mock Him. We are going to invest ourselves in studying the Word. We are going to invest ourselves in studying the Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Guys, if we do not study, then we will be pushed up and around by every wind of doctrine. If we do not study, we are going to start chewing on stuff we are not supposed to be chewing on. If we are not going to study, we are not going to mature. Praise God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, that you know, your age, according to where you are, you're supposed to be teachers, but some of you have to still be fed with milk instead of the flesh of the word. The only thing that remedies that is if you make a choice to start studying the Bible, to start seeking after God. And I had touched on this. It's going to be, again, a purposeful quest. So, you know, it's not like, somebody said something, I'm going to go check whether it's in the Bible, and then you find it. That it's going to be, I'm going to be the guy that stumbles, that says things that people go to confirm. Amen. That you're going to say, I'm going to be the guy that has it down, that is studying the Bible, that is saying, you know what, let me see what God has to say because of this day. Intentionality. Listen to me, children of God. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. The Bible calls the word bread. Listen to me. There is no monthly bread or weekly bread. And God knows why He had to say daily, because He knew that we are going to need rejuvenation over and over again. That is why He says, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is what man shall live by. He says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen to me, God does not stop talking yesterday. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which means that He's going to speak to us on a daily basis. Listen to me, when the children of Israel, when God was providing manna from heaven, do you know one of the instructions that He gave them? He told them, you cannot keep manna in the fridge. He told them, every day you will collect only what is enough for that day. And of course, these people were people. So they would gather some of the manna and keep it. Do you know what happened to the manna that they kept? It had maggots in it. It was rotten. It was gross.
give us this day our daily bread. Which means your quest for God has to be a daily quest. Which means your study with the Bible, the intimacy in the study, in the church, has to be a daily quest. That there is not going to be a day when I'm going to miss out on God. There is not going to be a day when I'm going to miss out on searching, seeking after God. That I'm going to be intentional about my study time. That I'm going to set aside a time and say, before I go to bed, I have to study. I'm going to study these chapters of the Bible. I'm going to study these verses of the Bible, and I'm going to sit down there and listen for what God has got for me. Being intentional. You know, we are being intentional about working out and staying healthy and eating healthy. How I pray that you be intentional about eating healthy when it comes to the Word of God as well. That you're saying, you know what, I am going to make a sober choice to chase after God. I'm not going to wait for Pastor Dan, because guess what? You don't know this. Man, I'm a sinner. You have no idea. But Jesus is not. Our Father is not. And that is why I'm encouraging you to chase after the Father, to chase after the King, to chase after the Master. Guess what? The word that I receive, that I give you, that is for that day. The word that I receive, that I give you, He can give you much more than I could ever give you. And when He does it for you personally, it makes more, it's more meaningful for you. When you study the Bible and then you come across this passage, you're like, He's talking to me. He is talking to me. A relationship of intimacy. Let's finish this up. Otherwise we won't. Commitment. If we are going to seek after God, we're going to need to be committed to the quest. Luke chapter number 9, verse 62. I'll read really fast because I'm looking at the clock now. And since we are not in China, since we have the freedom, these things ought not be so, brethren. Right? Verse number 62. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 62, the Bible says this. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know if Americans understand this illustration. Back in Africa, we use cows to, and some people use donkeys to plow the land. And to be able to use the animals, you would yoke the animals together. Then there's a bar that comes from the animals to the plow that is connected. And you have to hold the plow and push it down. And somebody else is whooping the cows. As the cows move, this plow is digging and creating or plowing the land. Jesus uses this illustration. He says, if a man pulls his hands on the plow and looks back, he's not worthy of the ministry. He's not worthy of the kingdom. This is serious. This is serious stuff. If we are going to pursue after God, we need to have to invest ourselves in commitment. In saying, listen, whether it rains or it shines, whether that is the day when I'm too tired from work, I am going to work out my spirit man. I am going to still feed my spirit man. Have you ever felt like when you go back home from work, you're just like, I'm totally, I just want to sleep. You put your hand on the plow. If you look back, you're not worthy of it. It means my intentional quest is that consistency, that commitment. I am committing myself to this. I am committing myself to a church. I'm committing myself to seeking after God. I'm committing myself to my partner in marriage. I'm committing myself. You see, we live in a country that has got this word upside down. We have so compromised standards that many times we are just like, you know what? We're just about everything in life. If it happens, it happens for me. How I pray to God that you will be. as intentional about seeking God. Guys, I don't like bringing this up. But when you're working and it's snowing so horribly, we try and make it work. We go. When the sun is too high and too hot, we show up. And that's a human person that we are going to please. Because we know the consequences are rife. How I pray that the same passion will be what you use when it comes to God. You're saying, I'm committed to God. I'm going to chase after God. There is a beautiful story in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel. Let's finish with that. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. And what I wrote there is, how badly do you need it? How badly do you need it? How badly do you need God? How desperate are you for God? How desperately do you need Him? This woman was desperate for something. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zohim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Euphrate. If I read this, the names wrong, just realize that I'm reading them in Swahili. So you should be fine. And he had two wives. The name, you guys can't prove it, so we're good. And he had two wives. The name of one was Anna, and the name of the other, Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Oh, so this just simply means that she was mocking her. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? This man missed a very, very big point. Let's keep going. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in the bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Anna, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. This is important. And Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. I want to stop there. So these two women, again, this illustration doesn't work very, very well in America unless you live somewhere in Utah. Bible says that this is a man that had two wives. And one of the wives had children, but the other one did not. So she continuously mocked this one that didn't have children. Kind of just, did you notice what my daughter did today? My daughter did this wonderfully. She smiled at me. She did all this, and this other woman is heartbroken because she did not have any of her own. And the husband, missing a point, thought that he was sufficient for her. He says to her, "You got me. Don't worry about it." But her heart was wrenched in there. And the husband tried to comfort her with things. And over the years, she drank as well. That's subtle in there. Because the man of God says, "Why don't you put away the drink?" She had gone to the other direction, trying to find hope and strength to deal with her circumstance, her situation. But then she came to an understanding that that was not going to be the truth, that there is only one person that she can go after, and that is God. So she comes to the church, and after they eat the dinner, after the husband gives her what he thinks is what is befitting, she goes there, and she's, the Bible says that she starts seeking after God. In fact, when we were growing up, we were told that she said this statement, "I will not live here until I'm blessed. I will not leave the church until the Lord does something. I won't take off. I won't take out of here." How desperately will you get? How desperate are you for God? How desperate are you? How hungry are you? How badly do you want it? Anna wanted a baby so badly. She wanted so bad that she said, "I'm going to stay here. No matter what happens, I'm going to seek after God. No matter what happens, I'm going to give up everything. My husband might not be what's fulfilling. I'm going to leave that behind. My family, I'm going to leave that behind. I'm going to sit here that I may receive of the hand of God." She desperately seeks, and then the man of God comes and says, "You need to stop drinking. I love God because of that, because I'm supposed to be calling you out." She says, the man of God tries to call her out, says, "Why are you drunk in the church? Why are you behaving like this? Up to when will you continue drinking?" And she says, "No, I'm not drinking. I'm seeking after God. I'm not drinking. I am desperate for something. I need God. It is all I am seeking. It's all. He is all that I'm going after." And I love the statement that the man of God says to her. He says, "May God grant to you whatever it is that you desire." My prayer today is that as you desire to seek after God, that as you desire to go after the heart of God, we don't have time to go through this, but as you desire, that God will raise that urge in you. The Bible says, "Draw unto me," that's what God says, "and I will draw to you." Listen, child of God, when you turn like this and face the direction of God, God takes off running towards you. In fact, in the Bible, there's only one place where they show God running. It's when somebody turned and started looking for God. The Bible says that the prodigal son, as he was coming down the road, his father took off running towards him. Today, as you make a decision, a sober decision, an intentional decision to seek after God, God is going to open your eyes to revelation in the scriptures. God is going to open your eyes to things that he's doing in nature. God is going to open your ears to the things that people will say around you that are going to connect you to the message of that God is laying in your heart for the moment. As you turn around and start going after God, God takes off running towards you. And you stand up so we pray. I would like you to make a commitment in your spirit. To say, "Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to seek you." Hosea chapter number 10 verse 12. Hosea chapter number 10 verse number 12. I hope I can find it first. Hosea chapter number 10. He's one of the minor prophets. He didn't have too much to say. The Bible says this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, which means you're intentional about living a life that's worth the call. You're sowing yourself into righteousness. He says, reap in mercy. Because as you sow yourself into righteousness, God sends down his mercy. He redeems us. He lifts us up. He calls us. Then he says, plow the unplowed ground. Or break up your fallow ground, which means, fallow ground means pretty much virgin land, land that has not been tilled before. Says, break that up. He says, go in areas you've not gone before. Which means, if I've been studying the Bible for 1 hour, I'm going to say, I'm going to venture into a place I've never been before and break my fallow ground. I'm going to go into 2 hours. It is saying, my prayer life is struggling. I am going to invest myself and go deeper. It is saying, I am going to say, to listen to Christian radio and seek out sermons and ministers, and I'm going to buy Christian books and study. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to invest myself into finding more information about God. I'm going to break the fallow ground, which means basically get out of your comfort zone. So I want you to make a commitment, like that scripture that God just brought to memory. Go ahead and say, Lord, I'm going to break my fallow ground. I'm not going to be like I've been, basically. I'm going to change my ways. For it is time to seek the Lord till he rains righteousness upon me. Abba Father, as we stop there with this word, we pray as a church that we will be a church that seeks after you. A church that chases after the Father. We have come to almost half of this year, Father. And we've had our ways in yesterday. We pray that we will go deeper today. That we will choose from today to say, I am going to be intentional about seeking after God. Father, without seeking after you, we drift away. Father, help us that we will stay the course and seek after you till you come and rain your righteousness over us. We love you tonight and this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you.